Let's go back to the book of Luke this morning. We began last week in chapter 1 as Luke is prefacing in what we dealt with last week. Luke was called of God to write this down. As you know, Luke was a physician. Luke was very detailed. I love reading all Matthew, Mark, Luke, but Luke just stands out because Luke is more detailed, and you can see it, you can sense his matrix, how he's made up as you read and understand. And as we began last week, we were dealing with confirmation. Why we're here, why we're serving God, why we're giving our lives to God is not in vain, it's for a reason. It's for a solid, proven reason. Our faith is not founded in a man. It's not founded in an organization. It's founded in mighty God who has stood the test of time. Amen. And Luke here, as he said in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, he said, inasmuch, as I said, some translations say for as much, he had done his research. He had studied. He had learned what he had learned. And he puts it all together, and as we pick up now in verse 5 of chapter 1, he begins to describe what he has learned and what he has seen and all the accounts put together as to prove that the promises of God are true. Amen. And so, just this morning, I want to talk about breaking the silence. Breaking the silence. And he picks up in verse 5, he begins to foretell about John the Baptist. He begins to tell about John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of Christ. So look what he says here. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. That's important that you get that right there. And the first thing I want you to note here is he begins to introduce the plan of God. As he begins to unveil the plan of God, he breaks the silence, because up until now, men have had to walk with revelation, walk according to prophets, walk according to prophecy, and now the prophecy has come true. A prophet is known by his success if what he says comes true. Amen? And so what he's saying here is, this is the plan that God gave. And as he begins to describe here, he describes the situation of man. He describes the condition of man. Now, understand, there's a religious order. You got to get this. But God came not to give religious order, but to give relationship. God came not that you just might go through motions, that you go through rituals, that you follow a certain criteria, but he came to reveal, to break the silence, that he's a God that can be touched. Amen. He's a God that when you don't understand, he's still God. When you understand, he's still God. When you're hurting, when you're going through pain and agony, and you can't put it down on writing sometime, he's still God. Amen. And he says here that God chose a man and a woman. I just want you to get this. In the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah. So he's a priest. He's working in the temple. He's going through the ordinances. He's doing everything he knows to do. Put that in your mind. What do you do when you do everything you know to do? What do? I want to tell you this. When you do everything you know to do, there's more. God's got more. You do what you can do, and then God does his part. Amen? But get this in mind now. The priest named Zechariah, division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. Righteous didn't mean that they were perfect. It just meant that they were following the order of God. Ooh, I thank God so much for sending us His Son, because He gave us the order. But then He gave us the power of the Spirit to fulfill that order. God said, walk in love. But how many of you know He'll show you how to walk in love? God said, live righteous. But He'll show you how to live righteous. You know what I'm saying? And that's what He's saying right here. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child. They had a need. Jesus came, get this, number one, to give hope. Why did He need to give hope? The law was there. The prophecies were there. But sometimes in life, you need something supernatural that goes beyond the natural. You need a touch of God. God came, sent His only Son, born in a manger, so that He would touch the world with His humanity and touch our humanity with His humanity. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. That's the symbol right there. That no matter what we do, as far as physical efforts go, we're still in need. Jesus came, He broke the silence of hope. He broke the silence because, listen, there is no hope outside of God. There are a lot of people going through the motions today. Churches are going through the motions today, but they're empty. Here's a man and a woman who were going and doing everything they knew to do. Righteous, blameless, but they had no child. Now, I believe everything in the Bible is there for a purpose, don't you? I believe God puts it in there to teach us something, that you can do all you know to do, and still you got needs. Amen. And He said that she was barren, and both were well advanced in years. Now, I like verse 8. Now. I like the word now. You know, I've used that word before, now. Turn to one side and say, now. Here's my situation. Here's what I'm going through. I don't have this and I don't have that. And I really have a need and I don't really know what to do. Now. Glory to God. Jesus came to give us a now. Because He knew we would go through the motions and we'd do everything we know to do. God, I've done everything I know to do. Then God says, now. Some of you this morning may be facing a situation that just is impossible. You have done all you know to do. You have done everything within your human being to do. And still there seems to be emptiness. But God says, now. Now, while he was serving as priest, I like that. What do you do? God said, number one, I'm going to introduce a plan of God. Number two, I'm going to show the predicament of man. The predicament of man is that we have a need. God came to this earth because we had a need. We needed somebody to show us how to touch him. You got to get that. God sent Jesus to prove to us how we could touch him. Aren't you glad you serve a God today that when you call out to him in the middle of the night and tears are soaking your pillow and nobody seems to understand, you know he understands. Have you ever been going through something in your life and you said, I wish somebody would just understand my side of the picture? You ever been through that? God's there. Everybody's against me. Nobody listens to me. But my heart is this. And God says, now, glory to God. Now, we have a high priest that can be touched with what you're going through. Listen, Jesus came to break the silence. Here's a man and a woman who are working in the temple and they're doing all they know to do. Have you ever done the best you can do and still get judged by it? Amen. You've done the best you can do and still get judged by it. Jesus came not to condemn, but to uplift and to put back together. I was praying this week, and the Lord brought to my heart about brokenness. There's a lot of brokenness in the world today. And you know what God reminded me? He said, I remind you that I am the one who puts broken things back together again. And some of you are dealing with stuff right now that's broke. And the temptation is, throw it away. Throw that relationship away. Throw that job away. Throw everything. Throw everything away. That's the temptation. But God says, now, I'm a God that can turn it around. And I'm a God that can put the, I don't know how he can do it. That's because he's God. Amen. He's God. He can do it. Here they are in the temple doing everything they knew to do. Now Luke is recording all this. He's writing all this. He sees all this. And he's beginning to understand now. I understand why there's a star in Bethlehem. Now I understand why there's a Savior in the barn. Now I understand why unto us is born a Savior in this world. Now I understand why his name is Emmanuel, because the law is short and can only do but so much, but he can come and change everything to now. Glory to God. I remember when I was raised to work. Back in the day when we were coming up, we didn't get a chance to sit at home. You people know what I'm talking about. You were raised to work. And Saturday morning was just another day to your daddy. You had to work. And I can remember, I'd work with my daddy. He'd work my butt off. And then I'd think, we just about done. We just about done. And now he'd say, now, Lord, how am I? What now? I mean, my friends would ride by on their bicycles and say, you going to play with us? And I'd look at him, no. Amen. And by the time I think we were done, he'd say, now. And you know, I remember that this week, and I think, you know, by the time you feel like it's over, by the time you think it's all, it ain't nothing else going to happen, God says, now, hallelujah. Now, glory to God. Verse 8, now while he was serving. See, that's you and me. We're going through this world, and we're doing the best we know to do. Before God, his division was on duty. So everybody had different jobs. Now verse 9 said, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter in the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now what that means is, it come his time, the priest took care of the temple, and it come his time to get the incense going. The incense was a symbol of praise and honor going up to God. And so, he was doing the best he knew to do, but in the back of his mind, his wife's barren, he's got a tremendous need, he's got an impossible situation. How do you keep a straight face when you're going through times and you don't know what to do? How do you stand? Get this now. How do you stand when you don't understand? You just keep praising him. Oh, that's, you preachers say all that. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of that. Y'all just say, praise the Lord. Y'all know where I'm at, don't you? Now, you know, there's times you don't feel like praising the Lord because you know sometimes, but let me tell you something. Your mouth may not always be able to praise the Lord, but your heart can. Amen? That's why I love God. He knows your heart. Your flesh is saying, no, 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 no. But your heart says, now, I know God is able to turn this around. Some of you are facing some stuff right now. I know you are because you're a human being and you're living in this world and there's a lot of stuff going on. And there's a temptation to say, just forget it. But can you imagine him going to that temple? Now he's going to offer praise to the Lord. Now Luke is writing all this down. So he does just like he always does. Now listen. Verse 10, I got about 30 more minutes. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside the hour of incense. And look here at verse 11. Now verse 11 is where we live now. Verse 11 is where we live. And there appeared in the hill the angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar. Anytime you see right side, that means power of God. So there's the plan of God, there's the predicament of man, and the last thing I want to give you this morning is the presence of hope. While he's going through life with his predicament, here comes the presence of hope. He's going through the motions. He's lighting all these candles. He's doing all this work. And all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord appears. And it scares him to death. Y'all got to get that right there now. Y'all got to get that. He's a priest. And he's doing the Lord's work. And he's worshiping. And all of a sudden, God appears in the form of an angel. And it scares him to death. You know what that says? He was just like us, just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. Just doing what I got to do. Just doing what I'm going to take communion. I'm going to light the unity candle. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm just going through. Let me tell you something. God doesn't go through the motions. He's a God that's real. Amen. He's a real God. And look what he says right here. And the angel appeared on the right side, which is authority and power of God. In verse 12, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw it. And fear fell upon him. Some of you are going to go through stuff, and I'm going to come to a close. Some of you are going through stuff in life, and you're dealing with a lot of fear. But the angel said to him, get this, do not be afraid, Zechariah. For your prayer has been heard. Who is that for this morning? That's for somebody today. Your prayer has been heard, and your wife is going to bear a son. Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. And John was a forerunner of Christ. He was a part of the plan of God. The plan of God, the predicament of man, and the presence of hope. What we need today is hope. And as you write down in your notes today, put hope and then put aside of it now. And you may not see the now right now, but God's a now God. And God's a God that's working things out. Amen. I'm asking you to stand to your feet, take the hand of the woman beside of you today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but I wonder today, I just wonder, is anybody in here got something that you need God to do in your life? I wonder, does anybody in here today need the silence broken in your life? I wonder if there's anybody here today that's going through something in life and it seems impossible. As you take that hand, as you come in agreement this morning, Father, we call on your name today because we know you're bigger. We are all faced with impossible situations. We're all faced with situations, Lord, that seem to be undoable. But God, you spoke and told this elderly couple, you're going to have a son. I'm going to do a now miracle in your midst. And this son that you have is going to fulfill the prophecy of sending the Savior. Lord, I don't know what your people are going through today, but I ask you today, Lord, that you instill hope in their life, encourage in their life, and strength in their life not to give up. God, we ask you that you would speak to their heart and give them that second wind, that they would say, Lord, I believe that you're a God of the now, and I believe that you're going to turn things around. You sent a son to break the silence. You broke all systems, God, in the world. You went against all odds because you're a supernatural God. And we ask you, Lord, today to take this word, pour it into the hearts of your people, and may they live a now moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you today. Amen. Amen.